Amen. Praise the Lord for special music that we have as we come out to the church. And what a blessing it is just to be able to sing congregational songs and then also be ministered to through music. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to Joshua chapter 7 as we look to study the Word of God. We've been going through and studying the life of Joshua. And Joshua, a tremendous Bible character. You don't find too many flaws in Joshua's life. And tonight, possibly the first flaw that we find in the scriptures concerning Joshua. And this is something that if this is as bad as it gets, then praise the Lord for that. All of us need to have the very same testimony as the Joshua. And but we find that there is something here that one time we see this, that I don't find it in the life of Joshua at any other juncture in his life. But tonight we're going to be looking at this and seeing just how we can benefit from it. God's recorded it for us to learn from it. But if you remember, Joshua's leading the nation of Israel into the promised land, and well, things are going great. I mean, everything was going well, getting across the Jordan, seeing God work miracles, seeing God work a major miracle and blowing down the walls of Jericho. There was not one casualty of the nation of Israel in conquering the land of Jericho, and just an amazing thing. And so things are just going maybe a little too easy for Joshua as he was leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. And then they get to Ai. And we studied this last week, the idea that there was 3,000 soldiers. The whole army didn't go up, only 3,000 soldiers. And they were defeated at the hands of the soldiers of Ai. And in that defeat, there was 36 men killed. 36 men died in a battle that they lost at Ai. And we find that, of course, as we studied that, it was Achan sinned. And that was the main reason that they lost the battle, because God told them that there was sin, that he would not be able to bless them and to go before them. And so Achan sinned, but the other part of it was Israel and Joshua failed to make sure of God's will and his presence going to Ai. No mention of that. And if they would have sought the Lord, then they would have found that there was a problem in the fellowship that God had with Israel, because there was sin there. They didn't do that, and so we find that they were defeated and 36 killed. So we looked at, and other people's sins do impact others, but can I tell you that you can't use that as an excuse, because no matter what's going on in your life, if you seek the will of God, then he'll be able to turn anything around and have some good come out of it, because all things do work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And even though Israel did not know what had happened, if they would have sought the Lord, then they would have been able, possibly been spared, losing 36 men in battle. Well, tonight we're going to be looking, that was Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 down through 5. And so if you'll stand with me tonight, we're going to pick it up at verse 5 and read down to verse 12. Joshua chapter 7. And is everybody here tonight?
Yeah.
I know that physically I look around and I see, you know, quite a few people here, and praise the Lord for that. Never know who's going to be here. You're a blessing. Every time you show up, you're a blessing to the rest of the church. Amen. That's everyone here. We are an encouragement to each other as we assemble ourselves and prove that we believe it's important to worship the Lord and to sit underneath the preaching and the teaching of God's Word and to raise our family, get our whole families in church, and make it a special occasion. I think every opportunity we have to come to church is a special occasion. And we need to look at it that way, that we get the time, a little family time, a little church family time. And so we have that tonight, but that's, again, getting here is half the battle. You hear me say that all the time. The other half of the battle is to get plugged in to what God has for us. And so I trust that you're ready to do that tonight. Joshua chapter 7, verse 5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. Verse 7, and Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Wow. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we thank you for, again, a chance for being church and your presence in this place. And God, you know what's going on in each one of our lives. I pray that as we go through and study this passage of Scripture in the life of Joshua, that you would use whatever is needed here to speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to speak on Joshua's response to defeat. It's easy to praise God and to have a right attitude in victory when everything's going your way. No better time to pray, no better time to read your Bible and come to church and serve the Lord and have a smile on your face and say all the right things and do all the right things when everything is going in the direction you think it ought to go and there's victory in the camp. But what happens when we have to face some trials of life? What happens when we face defeat? Wow. Joshua is going to face defeat for the first time as the commander-in-chief of Israel. And although Joshua did not say all the right things, this is the flaw that we talked about. He did the right things, which made all the difference in the world. Now, if you look here with me, Joshua's thinking reveals his despair and somewhat shock of the report from Ai. He didn't think there was any way. I mean, they just experienced the greatest victory of all. The toughest city for them to overcome would have been Jericho. And they never lost one soldier. He didn't have to go and comfort and console one wife, one child. They had the victory without one casualty. And now they come back and they come and tell him that his armies were defeated and 36 soldiers were dead. Wow, what an impact. He had responsibility. He claimed responsibility as God's servant leading them. He was the one that gave the okay. He was the one that gave the marching orders to you go and take Ai. And he only sent 3,000 because that's what they had counseled him to do. And now he's faced with the death of 36 of his soldiers and a defeat. Verse 7 is what he says. And he says, and Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? That doesn't sound like Joshua. Somewhat accusing God of bringing them all this way, getting their confidence up, only to kill them, only to destroy them. We come all this way, fought all these battles. You brought us this far to destroy us? And then he says, would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. We should have stopped. We should have never have continued past the Jordan River. We were victorious. Maybe we should have even stopped at Jericho and just been content to just take in a little portion of the land. For if we had stopped, at least we wouldn't have to bury 36 soldiers. At least we wouldn't have to have felt defeat. Can I tell you, his words were reaction from his flesh and not his faith. This was not the reaction of a man of faith. When something happens that blows your mind, if you will, something happens out of the ordinary, and you're in church and you're doing right and all this, and you get hit with something like that, the flesh, if you let it take over, it's going to get bitter. It's going to want to blame somebody. And if you're serving God, then it's got to be God's fault. How in the world could you let this happen to us? We're supposed to be your children. We're supposed to be your the people. This is the land that you're supposed to give us. And we come this far just so you can destroy us? That's wrong thinking. That is the thoughts of the flesh, not of faith. Did we come all this way to be destroyed? Is that really what you want to say? Is that really how you want to address God? The one that just has proven himself over and over again throughout the wilderness, the one who had just parted the Jordan River, the one who had just blown down the walls of Jericho and allowed you to go in and virtually not have one casualty of war. Is that really what you think happened? He just teased you to this point to get you to this place so that he can pull the rug out from underneath you to destroy you here at the hands of Ai? You really think God's against you because of something that's happened? You really think that God has it out for you and he's just teasing you and he doesn't really love you and that's why this is going on? That's wrong thinking. We should have stopped and stayed on the other side of Jordan. Did God lead you here just to stop on the other side of Jordan? Or was the purpose all along to give you the promised land? If you have faith to understand God's plan, he has a purpose for your life. And when he's already revealed his purpose, then that's exactly what he wants. He is not changing his mind. God's will for Israel was to conquer and possess the entire land of Canaan. Joshua, you know that. Why would you speak so foolishly? This was Joshua's flesh. It reveals that Joshua had a sin nature, as all of us do. This was not new to God's people. Look back with me to Exodus in chapter 14. We'll find this all through the wilderness. Joshua was part of it. He was there and heard this. I don't think he ever thought he himself would say such words. But Joshua chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, this is after the plagues that God brought upon Egypt, and now the nation of Israel is leaving Egypt, and they're rejoicing because everything's going their way until they see the armies of Pharaoh following them. And it's like they lose their mind. They lose all spiritual understanding of what's taken place. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? You really think that? You think that God is that cruel, that that's his purpose? Wow. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. That's not faith. Chapter 16, just another time. Verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. It baffles me from time to time to see how people think. As you're dealing with individuals and families and on, and you get down and counsel, and sometimes you just want to throw up your hands and say, what? Where's that thinking coming from? Hasn't God proven himself enough? Don't you know what God has already done? Have you forgotten that? Are you losing your mind? What's going on? But really, if it was not written down here, I would not have thought Joshua would have done that. One of the great Bible characters is Joshua. And if Joshua could surrender to the thoughts of the flesh, mark it down, it could happen to any one of us. How do you respond to battles? How do you respond to defeat? How do you respond when the answer is no? Pray to God and doing everything, and you think it would be God, but the answer is no. How do you respond? This was the flesh talking. This was not faith. There was one, and there is one in this recorded in the scriptures that probably had to deal with a lot more than what Joshua did right here. And he responded in the flesh. He responded by faith. I'm so glad that God has given us this Bible character named Job. Look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, I think everyone here would understand what all Job went through and everything. No one has ever gone through what Job went through. And after losing his children and his wealth, the Bible says in Job chapter 1 and verse 22, in all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. If you're not careful, the flesh is going to get you to charge God foolishly, as Joshua was, and thinking, you brought us this way just to kill us? And we should have stopped before we had to face defeat. Job chapter 2. Then after Job had Satan attack his own physical body and had him attacked by his own wife, Job said in chapter 2 and verse 10, But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Wow. That's faith. Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40, verse 2. Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? Are we really at a place where we think we can instruct God in what he should do? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth, so that he would not speak foolishly against the Lord. What? Can I tell you, if we go back to Joshua now, go back to our text here, we find this is Joshua letting the flesh speak. And can I tell you, this is right after he hears this. God records what he does in the very beginning. This is his thought in the very beginning when he was overwhelmed with defeat, overwhelmed with being responsible for the armies, for the children of Israel, and knowing that he has just lost 36 soldiers. This was an attack. This was something very hard. He was facing a tremendous trial and defeat. He allowed his flesh to put wrong thoughts in his mind. We should have stopped and being content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. Can I tell you that we never should regret obedience? It's never the problem or the cause for defeat. I hear it from time to time, rebellious young adults, sometimes even older adults, saying, well, the reason I didn't go to church is I was forced to go when I was young. That's a lie. Because if you were raised as God wanted you to be raised under the authority of your parent, and your parent loved God and loved you and wanted to raise you right, they're going to force you to go to church. Being obedient to God never, okay, causes that kind of rebellion. That rebellion was already there, and there was other things that you were involved in, other things that you wanted to do. You turned against God on your own. The only hope you had was your parents forcing you to be in church and hoping that at some point you would listen to something that would make sense and the Spirit of God get in a hold of your life. Parent, never regret obedience to God. Don't you let that child tell you any different. Don't you let anyone else tell you that you're the reason that your child rebelled is because you forced them to go to church. No, that is obedience to God. There's always other reasons. Going up against Ai, that was obedience. Don't regret obedience. You failed in that you didn't check with God to make sure that you were right and it was God telling you to go up at that time. If you would have checked with God, he would have said, there is something wrong. There is not, the fellowship is not there. You do not have my blessings. I am not going with you. There is sin in your camp. In the house of Israel, there is sin in the house of Israel, and I will not bless the house of Israel as long as there is sin going on. That's why you were defeated. Not because of obedience. It's never the problem or the cause for defeat. Keep the faith, reject the flesh. Keep the faith, know that you're just obeying God. Reject what the flesh wants. Because although he didn't say the right things, I love this about Joshua, he did the right things. When he heard it, look what he did, verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. Wow. He was battling what was going on inside of his mind, but he did the right things. Sometimes we don't think right, but we override our thinking and continue to do what we know is right to do. He turned to the Lord. Can I tell you, the most important thing when you're facing defeat is to turn to the Lord. Because whether you understand it at the time or not, he is the only help that you have to defeat what has defeated you. And Satan would love to take away from you the most important help that you have to be able to overcome defeat. And I talk to people from time to time. Well, I just couldn't come to church because this happened and I was so distraught. And so you turn away from the church. You turn away from the influence of God. You turn away from worship. You're never going to have right thinking until you turn to God. Until you control the flesh and you control your environment and you control the influence on your life and you let the Spirit of God influence your thinking so that you can have right thinking. You got to turn to God. The first thing he did, even though he wasn't thinking right, and he ultimately didn't pray the right prayer, because he accused God, but he knew that God was his hope. He knew that God was his help, and he did fall before God until he had right thinking. He knew his help was in the Lord, and he was battling the flesh. But he turned to the Lord. I love that because that's exactly what the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, and you know the verse well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See, when your thinking's clouded and you start actually leaning toward the wrong thoughts, it's a time of need. Before you do something really stupid, don't turn away from God. You turn to God. As he bowed before the Lord and the ark represented the presence of God, he humbled himself. He fell to the earth and put dust upon his head. That was a sign of humility. Humility says, God, no matter what, you're God. Your will be done. Not my will. Your will be done. It's not about me. It's about your will. Amen. That's what humility says. So he did the right things. And then he waited for God to speak. He spoke what was on his mind, which was charging God foolishly. It really was. But you know, God never addressed that. Because God listens to the heart more than he does the lip. Sometimes we even say the wrong things, but God knows our hearts. And he somewhat just puts that aside and addresses us with the help that we need. And that changes our mind. It changes our thinking. He waited for God to speak when he says this in verse 8, O Lord, what shall I say? When Israel turneth their backs before their enemies, and that now I've got to go out and address Israel. I've got to address the soldiers, and they've turned their back against the enemies. I'm the one that has the leadership. I am serving you. You've given me this position. How am I going to address them? What shall I say? I've never had to do this before because we've always had the victories. I've been able to go and cheer them up and celebrate like Alabama did the other night. Amen. You know, from the despairs of hell almost, you know, to the alive, and we got the game here. I mean, just the next play. Things like that will take place in our lives, and if you're not careful, the despair will destroy you, and you'll never get to the place of rejoicing with the Lord. And so we find here that Joshua, again, he did the right things and he says the wrong things. But God doesn't address that. What shall I say? And then in verse 9, he's waiting on God. He's talking to God. He says, I've got to say something. You've got to tell me what to say. Verse 9, he says, For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do unto thy great name? And not only what am I going to tell them, what are you going to do about how this is going to impact the other battles that we're supposed to fight? And he was concerned. God's seen the concern he had about the testimony of God. And maybe that's why God just kind of took what he said in verse 7 and just put that aside. And God spoke to him. I love it because God spoke to Joshua exactly what he needed to hear. Verse 10, And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Whereupon liest thou thus upon thy face? Get thee up. He said, first of all, stop blaming me. You're lying on your face, praise the Lord for that, but you're not addressing me as you ought to address me. You're not thinking the way you ought to think. What you ought to be thinking is, it's not God. If it's not God, I know God would not cause this. There has to be something else. Change your thinking. Stop blaming God and look for the problem that God cannot bless. Look for your failures. It might be that you need to go through that trial to get you back to or where you need to be. And that's the only way that God's going to accomplish it. I don't know. That's between you and God. No one can say, well, God's chastening them because this, this, and this. No, that's wrong. You're not the Holy Spirit of God. You don't know what's going on in that person's life. Don't you ever claim to know what God is doing in somebody else's life. We have enough to handle dealing with ourselves. We really do. That's all of us. But as an individual, I need to know what God is doing in my life. God will let you know if you're sincere in wanting to know. Get up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? It's not a time to pray. You've already prayed. Now you need to go do what needs to be done. Because, Joshua, Israel hath sinned. And if you're thinking right, you realize that's the problem all along. Not that I brought you here to destroy you. Not that you should have stopped before you ever went up to Ai. If you're thinking clearly and you truly know who I am, then you know that's not the way I work. Yeah. So get thee up and address the sin problem. Many times we want to be blinded to our sin problems. We want to blame it on something else. But God knows the truth. Isaiah chapter 5. There's so-called Christians, whether they are or not, only God knows that. But they'll go from a good church to a community, no conviction, no preaching against doctrine, no preaching against sin, church, so they can do and what they want to do and not have the conviction of God upon their lives. If they're saved, they're still going to have the conviction of God, no matter what that preacher might tell them. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." We have a lot of religion today in America that is calling evil good. And sad, most of the religious crowd are buying into it. And when you buy into justifying your sin, you might fool the world, but you're not fooling God. And if there's sin in the home, if there's sin in the camp, God is not going to bless that. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitter." Yeah. "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink." I want to do this, and so I don't want to be convicted, so I'm not going to go to a fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that will make me feel bad about myself if I live in this sin. I've got to go somewhere where I can still be religious and still do what I want to do and live whatever lifestyle I want to live and be involved in whatever activities I want to be involved in. You can do that. But don't think that you're going to do that and have the power of God and the blessings of God upon your life. Back in, well, we're going to close here, but look back with me. Joshua chapter 7, verse 12. Because this is the reality of it. The reality of what God told Joshua was this. He tells them, verse 11, "Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have given, even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also." Joshua, this is what they've done. How can you expect me to bless that? "Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies." That's why it happened. I don't have to guess, don't have to figure out what's going on here or there. The Bible says right there, God tells Joshua, that's why this happened. But they turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore. No matter how religious you think you are, no matter what you think of having God's blessings or not, I believe that Satan can appear as an angel of light to make you think that you're being blessed by God and it's not God's blessings. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. You get rid of the sin. Bottom line. I'm not going to be with you anymore. Yes, you're my people. I love you. I brought you here to give you this land, but I'm not going to bless the sin. Yeah. If we are ready and willing, that's key. Ready and willing to listen to God, He will help us to know what is hindering us from victory. When you face defeat, there's something that we need to learn from that. And if you're ready and willing to listen to God, He'll reveal to us why we were defeated and what we need to do to get back on the victory side. Amen. That's exactly what He did for Joshua. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. How are you handling defeat? Blaming it on somebody else? Blaming it on God not loving you? Not honoring His word? That's wrong. You know that's not true. That's the flesh. That's the devil working through the flesh. If you face defeat, there's a reason. And if you are willing and ready to hear it and face it, God will reveal it to you. We ought to want to be on the winning side. That's the side God's on every time. If you're on the side that God's on, you are on the winning side. And there is victory. Not going to give a musical invitation, but there's always an invitation. As many have already come, if God spoke to you tonight and you need to come for whatever reason, we invite you to come. Make that decision. Or they're right there in your pew. How are you handling that defeat? Your mind's going to race with a lot of fleshly thoughts. You got to control those thoughts. Get back to the faith that God's given to you. Have faith and then be faithful to God. Father, we bow before you, love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the message tonight as we looked into the life of Joshua and this powerful Bible character. And even tonight we see that he still had a sin nature. I thank you for that because that helps me to know when my mind is racing and I've got wrong thinking that I can't overcome that. And I can get back on the right side. I pray, God, that you'd help each one that's looked to you tonight for whatever reason. I pray as we get ready to dismiss now that you'd watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.